I was reading an article the other day about literary scholars who have looked at all the great stories in history, every kind of story you can think about, and have determined that there are really only 7 stories, and that every other story is really some kind of version on the theme of one of these big stories in life. They broke it down into things that you might imagine, like boy meets girl. We can think of all the different movies and books and plays in history that revolve around the interaction of romantic love between men and women. Or the story of man versus creation. There's some kind of natural task and an obstacle that someone has to overcome. But the one that sticks out to me, and the one that I think is one of the most beloved storylines of all history, is the story of the journey to get home. Now, in this story, the protagonist somehow finds himself far from home, maybe through his own doing, maybe through some disaster, and the crux of the story is their journey to get back home. I can think of lots of different space movies where, like, you think of Apollo 13, where they get out there and their spacecraft blows up and now they've got to get back home. And there's this great struggle to get home. Probably here in Kansas, the movie that we're most familiar with, of the great epic tale of the story to get home, is The Wizard of Oz. Little Dorothy Gale from Kansas is not happy with her little life on the prairie here and starts to take for granted her family and the boredom of Kansas, and then all of a sudden a tornado comes and she's whisked away over the rainbow to the land of Oz. And the rest of the story is then her great struggle to get back home in the face of the Wicked Witch of the West and flying attacking monkeys and everything that the story can throw at her. Finally, she is able to get back home. And there is great rejoicing and a newfound appreciation for her family. One of the great tales of the journey home. And lest we think that this is just in Kansas, as anybody knows, if you travel outside of Kansas, if you introduce yourself and say that you're from Kansas, undoubtedly, the person will say, "Oh, Kansas, yeah, Dorothy, how's Toto?" And yeah, Toto, that's cute. I've never heard that one before. Imagine being in Washington, D.C. and telling people you're from Kansas. Well, actually, Dorothy is quite famous in Washington. If you go to the big Smithsonian Museum of American History that houses all of our great national treasures, like the Star-Spangled Banner that flew over Fort McHenry, or George Washington's uniform that he wore in the Revolutionary War, you will find also, next to these amazing pieces of American history, the ruby slippers. There they are in the Smithsonian. And people love to come see the ruby slippers. It's amazing. In fact, if you go to the gift shop at the Museum of American History, it is hard to find a book on George Washington way in the back. But right in front, there is an entire section of Wizard of Oz memorabilia. You can buy little Dorothy's, big Dorothy's, little wind-up hearts that tick, anything you could want. That's how amazingly well-known the story of Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz is. Why is it that these stories of the journey home seem to resonate so much with us, that they could be known so universally? Well, I have to think from just the theological standpoint behind this, that all of us are really in one big story of the journey home. All of us are made ultimately to be at home with God in heaven. There's a sense that no matter how good things get in this life, no matter how comfortable we might be, there's always a sense of this isn't quite home. And God certainly allows little bits of suffering, and at the end of our life we know our bodies decay and we just keep breaking down, and all around we're reminded we're not quite home, and this life is really just one big journey to get back home. I think that's perhaps why we see the way it resonates so much in all these stories. It's the great story of our life. I think much as Dorothy is the maybe secular version of the great journey home story, I think today's gospel, the prodigal son, has to be the scriptural equivalent of the great epic tale of the journey home. Here the prodigal son, through his own fault, finds himself far from home. He has said to his father, "I don't want you. I want your money. Give me my inheritance now. I wish you were dead, but I don't want to wait for that. I want your money right now, and then I'm leaving." Okay, anyone who has been a teenager or has had teenagers has this experience of, "I don't like you, Mom and Dad. I want my own way, and I'm leaving." And that's essentially the prodigal son. But the most important part about this story is not that the prodigal son was bad and he got far away. Okay, fine. The most important part of this story happens when he says, "Wait a minute." Coming to his senses, he thought. He came to his senses, he thought, and then he decided, "I know what I will do. I will go back to my father. I will go back." And there starts the good part of the story. There is where the journey home part of the story really takes off. You see, in any of these great journey home stories, it's not how the protagonist got far away that's really interesting. Was it their spaceship that blew up? Or was it a tornado that took them away? Was it the prodigal son leaving? Whatever. However they got far away, that doesn't even matter. The story gets good when they decide, "I know what I will do. I will go back. I will start the journey home, no matter how hard it might be." Brothers and sisters, I don't know exactly where you might be in your own journey home towards God or what you might be going through, but I think all of us at some time have had this experience of feeling we're not as close to God as we want to be. Perhaps even consciously aware that we are headed in the wrong direction, that we like to wander far from the Father's house. And perhaps we think, even like the prodigal son, "It's my fault. Yeah, life is not going well, and I know why. It's me. It's my choices. I chose to reject God. I chose to alienate myself from my family, and that's why we don't get along anymore. Or I let some argument blow up, and that's why we don't talk anymore." There's all kinds of ways that probably all of us could point and say, we are not at home. And maybe it's even our fault. But whatever that is, if you feel like you're not quite home, that's not the interesting part of the story. Forget about how you got there. Forget about what it is now. That's not where it gets good. What gets good is if right now, today, you say, no, I know what I will do. I will go home. I will go back to the house of the Father. I will make things right with my family. I will make things right with God. I will turn my life in a different direction. And as hard as it might be, I decide to go home. That's when life gets exciting, and that's when the story gets good. But I would say that, I mean, for most of us here, okay, at least generally, we recognize that we have a home here at our church, and we're home with God, and sure, we're going to get better and ultimately wind up at home. But I can't help but think about the people that are not here today. You know, if we look at the United States, the largest single denomination of Christians is Catholics. But the second largest are fallen away Catholics. People who were baptized, given everything in our faith, and are not here. Now, it's not so important how they got to that point. Why aren't they here? Whatever that is, I think the greatest tragedy would be if somehow they felt that they were not welcome back home, that they didn't think they could come back home. We've got to be an inviting kind of place to know that everyone is always, at the moment's notice, welcome to head back home. There's a beautiful little apostolate called Catholics Come Home. They make videos about the Catholic faith directly aimed at Catholics who have left the active practice of their faith. And they try to directly invite them back. So I think those are also people that we got to somehow reach out to. Your neighbors, your family, your friends, people you know that, yeah, maybe we'd look at it and say, they're far from home. Maybe they don't even know it, but they need to be invited back. Because the great end of the story of the prodigal son journey home is that what he finds when he decides to head home is not what he expected. It's not condemnation. It's not, oh yeah, you're the one that thought he knew everything and went off on his own. Now look at you. It's not that at all. In fact, the great twist on this that would have surprised the Pharisees that Jesus was telling it to, and maybe even surprises us, is that the Father's not mad. He's not angry. In fact, he's overjoyed that he races out to meet his son who is coming home. That's what makes this story an incredible story. It's the journey home story par excellence. When he gets home, home runs out to meet him. It's like Jesus describes that lost sheep. We might think, well, who would go after one sheep? No, Jesus says, I love you if you're like one sheep. Even if you're just one sheep that's lost, I want you. I want you back. If you're one coin that's lost out of a bunch, you're not just one coin to me. You're the coin. I'm going after you. We've got to have that same love for our brothers and sisters, for everyone, to know in our hearts that we are loved by the Father, we are welcome home no matter what we've done, and that others need to have that same joy that the prodigal son has. The prodigal son gets a great kind of wake-up moment that allows all this to happen. It's when he gets destitute and down that he decides, I know what I will do. I'll go home. As we celebrate today the 15th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on 9/11, I can't help but look back on those days and think that that was kind of a wake-up moment for us, maybe collectively as a country. We know that at the root of the United States experiment is a great belief in God. Our country was founded so people would be free to worship God. To some extent, that's home for our country. That's what we're based on. And yet, 15 years ago, I had to say that, you know, maybe we'd lost a little bit of that. Maybe we kind of took God for granted. We passed a bunch of laws kicking God out of schools. We're not going to be able to pray there. We don't want to talk about God. Maybe God doesn't even exist. Maybe these crazy religious people made him up. For whatever reason, we got a little comfortable and kind of marginalized God. Like the prodigal son, we kind of said, we can do this without God. We're fine. And then those tragic events of 15 years ago happened. And almost instinctively, as a nation, we almost all together said, we need to go home. We're far from home. We need help. One of the great things that drives us back to our parents is like, there's a crisis. Mom and dad can be there. Well, in that crisis, I can't help but notice how so many people went back to church. People who the day before said, I don't need God. On 9/12, they were back in church. Even the president to the lowest person in the country, kneeling in church, asking God for help. And you know what? God didn't say, ah, you United States, you don't like me, you rejected me. No, God said, welcome back. So amidst that tragedy, I think it's also a great story of what began as a journey home for us as a country. We became better because of that day. All of a sudden, it gave us a chance to put things in perspective. Much like Dorothy Gale, when she gets back to Kansas after this great journey, decides she really does love her family. Just as the person who's been trapped in space when they finally get back to Earth is like, I have a great appreciation now for my little home in this universe. I think so too, after 9/11, you know, we had a chance to come back and maybe appreciate things better. We appreciated God, but I think we also appreciated our families better. It was more important that we tell people, I love you. We never know when might be the last time we would see them. And I think we realized how important it was for us as a country to not be a bunch of individuals out to get what's best for me, but we came together as a community to support each other. We're so amazed on those days by the men and women, our armed forces, many people who enlisted that day, saying, I will give my life to help protect the country, firemen, policemen, people who knew the sense of community that day and almost instinctively did the right thing to help others and not themselves. Those were great things that I think came out of that caused us to appreciate it more. It's when you think you're going to lose all that when you get it back again, maybe you see it in a little bit different light, like Dorothy coming back to Kansas. I think today, maybe we are drifting away again a little bit. I think maybe we're starting to leave home again. It's been 15 years, and today we might look back and kind of remember, but in the end, we're starting to drift away from God again. You know, my prayer is that it doesn't take some amazing catastrophe to cause us to say, I am far from home, we need to go back. Rightly, we can look at our country and say, well, maybe things aren't going so well. But there's not anything we can do to immediately change the evening news and what we see. The only thing we can do is begin to change us. To say, me, am I far from home? How do I need to go to get back? What do I need to do? And if we do that for ourselves now, what about our families? In what ways of our families are we taking them for granted? Are we putting God and things second? When do we put our families after other things? If we start to change those things, if we wake up and come to our senses and say, No, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We are going to go back to the house of the Father. Then all of a sudden, one family at a time, we really can change the world, and it won't take another crisis to have us do that, we pray. So today, as we see this great story of the prodigal son and his journey home, that reminder of the great story that we're all on, maybe just take a little stock of where you're at. Where are you at in this? Are you far from home? Are you headed in the wrong direction? Well, maybe you at least know somebody like that. The truth is, all we have to do is say, I will rise and go to my Father. And then we get to go home. And as we all know, there's no place like home.